So Bosai, we're beginning what I call the real Klal Gadol, and that is the Melachos, which is on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah on the bottom. And so let's give a little bit of an introduction to our Mishnah. There are certain things we know, and they're Pashut. We know that the Torah says Lo Tasekol Melacha, and that's in the Aser Sadibros. And we have to point out that the Isur Melacha has nothing to do with Tircha. For example, you can carry around very heavy furniture on your shoulder from one corner of Rishus HaYochid to the other the whole day of Shabbos. That's a real Tircha, but it's not Aser. You know, all you have to do is take something very light and carry it 1 inch over the threshold to Rishus HaRabim, and you'll be chayev. So the structure of Shabbos, of Kol Melacha Lo Taseh, is based on the Mishkan. And the Gemara derives all the Melachas of Shabbos from the Mishkan. What was necessary in the building of the Mishkan? So we come up with 39 categories of Avos Melachos. Now, in addition to Avos Melachos, we have Toldos. Those are also prescribed by the Torah itself. And that, if you recall, back on Daf Ayin, we derive from the Pasuk V'asa Achas Mehena. So there's Hena and Mehena. Hena refers to the Avos, and Mehena refers to the Toldos. Now, the Avos were the main categories of labor in the building of the Mishkan, and they had a certain special chashivas to it, to the, each one of these malachas, but the toldos were not necessarily in the Mishkan. The Tosus has a shita that even if the toldos were in the Mishkan, but they weren't as chashiv as the avos. Okay, fine. Now, if you violate any of the avos, any of the toldos, b'mezid in front of Eidim with asra, yechayev skila, and b'shogeg without asra, yechayev achatos. Again, if you were mezid without asra, yechayev kares. And we spoke about the concept of shogeg when you do many malachos, behelim achas, and we have a halach of chiluke malachos, and you'll bring many chatos for each of the 39 malachas, and that's what we're going to see here at the beginning of our sugya, and that's why the Mishnah mentions the number 39. Fine. Now, we derive something much more fundamental than from Mishkan, in a sense that we have a principle derived from Mishkan that applies to all 39 malachas. In other words, if you want to set up 39 categories or mahuyot, you know, essential categories of labor, that for sure we learn from Mishkan. But now we're going to derive something about all 39 malachas from Mishkan, and that is the Torah says in Shmos Lamed Hey, it says Lasos Bechol Meleches Machsheves, that the work that was done, the labor to produce, to create the Mishkan, was called Meleches, is called by the Torah Meleches Machsheves, and by virtue of an equation to Shabbos, the malachas of Shabbos likewise have to be a Meleches Machsheves. Now, I have in front of me the introduction of the Masifta Gemara to this part of Masechta Shabbos, and he has a list of 7 categories and conditions that are derived from Meleches Machsheves. That Melech on Shabbos means that you did it in a perfect way, so to speak, which mirror images the Meleches Machsheves of the building of the Mishkan. The first halacha is what's called Kedarka as opposed to Shelo Kedarka. So, for example, we're going to have a Mishnah later on in the 12th parak about a person who writes with his left hand instead of his right hand. That's unusual, and that's called Shelo Kedarka. Number two, again, these are all deficiencies in Meleches Machsheves. Number two, we have Rab Shimon Shita about Melachah Sheinitzricha Legufa. We're going to derive from Mishkan not only the Maisa Melachah, but also the tzorech of the malach. In the Mishkan, the purpose of this action was definite, was specified. You could have one action which have many different accomplishments, many different purposes. So for example, if I need dirt in order to cover something, I have to dig a hole to get the dirt out of the hole. That is one purpose. Another purpose for which it was done in the Mishkan is that they dig the hole in order to plant the seed in the hole. And that's called Meleches Harisha. If I did it not for the purpose of planting a seed, that's called a Melech Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, according to Rav Shimon, that's not called Meleches Machsheves. Or for example, he takes something outside of his Rishus HaYochid, because he can't tolerate it in Rishus HaYochid, it has a bad odor to it, and he puts it out in Rishus HaRabim. He has no interest in putting it in any particular place, he just wants to get out of here. That's called a Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, according to Rav Shimon, that does not meet the standards and the demands of Meleches Machsheves. Rabbi Yehuda holds Yechayev, in such a case we'd have to analyze that machlokas. Now we have another category, also derived from Meleches Machsheves, and this is a bit tricky, and that's called the Davar Sheino Miskaven. Now why do I say this is tricky? Because a Davar Sheino Miskaven is not a derivative of Meleches Machsheves. Rav Shimon is of the opinion that a Davar Sheino Miskaven is mutar in Kol HaTorah Kula, not just in Shabbos. And therefore, if, for example, you would cut off Baheres, which is a Lav D'Oraisa, in order to do the mitzvah of Mila, or, for example, you would wear many begadim that have shatnez in them, but not for the purpose of Hanas Levisha, but for some other purpose, and you have no kavana for Levisha, that's mutter in Kol HaTorah Kula. But yet, Rabbi Shimon derives from Meleches Machsheves that with regard to Shabbos, if you don't have kavana, that's a separate p'tur of Meleches Machsheves. And it goes beyond the regular p'tur of Kol HaTorah Kula. And that's something that as we go along, we're going to have to study. Then, the fourth difference between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula is Misasek. And here we want to introduce Rava's Shita that we mentioned yesterday, that in a case where he wanted to do a Chituch of Mechubar, but instead he ended up with a Chituch of Tolush, then he's not chayiv at all. And that's a p'tur in Shabbos. And the Gemara says that makes a shar mitzvahs chomor, more chomor than Shabbos. But in Shabbos we have a pasuk Meleches Machsheves. So that's misasik. Then number five, he has something called a Meleches Kiyum. So for example, you might have a ksiva that self-erases with the passage of time. Right, that's what they use in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, correct? So erasing ink would be a p'tur of Meleches Machsheves. It's Maisa Ksiva, but it's not Ksiva Shel Kayama. We'll have this also in Meleches Kosher very frequently, where you tie a knot, but it's a very temporary kind of a knot. So Kol Melech Sheinim is Kayem, is a Mishnah later on in Shabbos and Perek HaBoneh, is Potur. Number six, we have a p'tur called Mekalkel, which is very unique to Shabbos. It doesn't apply in Kol HaTorah Kula. So, for example, in Korea, which we're going to get to in Mirtz Hashem in a few minutes, where you rip something, well, what was the purpose of your ripping a garment, for example? If you needed to rip it in order to re-sew it, because the stitches were not sewn in the right way, that they're zigzag, that's called a Meleches Tikkun. But if on the other hand you rip a garment just for the sake of ripping the garment, that's called Derech Kilkel Vashchasa, and that's not Meleches Machsheves Yepotur. Number seven, and this I found really fascinating, is the law of Shi'urim. What's the minimum amount that you require in order to violate a Meleches Shabbos? For example, in Ksiva, you're not going to be chayev for less than two osios. And in Otsah for less than a grogeres, and so forth and so on. And even if you hold Chatzi Shir is potter in Kol Torah Kula, but yet, according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least it's awesome in a Torah. Rabbi Yochanan himself, who says Chatzi Shir awesome in a Torah, would agree that in a case of Chatzi Shir and Shabbos, it's not awesome in a Torah. And that's because of the special din of Meleches Machsheves. That's number 7. Number 8 and 9, these are very questionable because they may be universal halachas and they're not derived from Meleches Machsheves. Number 8 is Asiya al Yidei Acher. In other words, you did it with the help of someone else. So let's say two people carrying something out into Rishus HaRabim, there might be a patur of Shnayim Shasu. And that might be a special Shabbos halacha derived from Meleches Machsheves. But again, we would insist that that's, at the face of it, a universal halacha. In all Isuri Torah, you're only chayv if you do it yourself. And then we have what's called Asiya v'lo grama, that the Torah says lo tase kol malacha, and this might be a separate halacha in Shabbos, but it's not necessarily because of Meleches Machsheves. I'm not sure. It might be a derivative of lo tase kol malacha, that you need asiya as opposed to grama. Anyway, these are some of the halachas that are unique to Shabbos that he sketches over here as an introduction to our Mishnah. Now, what I'd like to try to do today, and I spent some time on this, on the one hand, I want to zip through the Mishnah, just translate the words, and get the 39 Malachas, but on the other hand, there's a group of 4 Malachos that are called Meleches Ariga. And I was honestly hoping to get a hold of Rabbi Chait's little children's book from Meleches Shabbos, and he has a couple of beautiful pictures, which I haven't seen in decades. If anybody has that, maybe you could take a colored picture and send it to me. But what I did find is some drawings of Meleches Ariga, and we'll see if we can make sense out of these drawings. But anyway, let's just go through the Malachos. We'll try to very quickly define each of the 39 Malachos. Avos Malachos are Boim Chasar Achas, and the first one is Zorea. The definition of Zorea is Pu'ula Hamavia Lidei Gidul Tzmachim O Shemisayas Lekach. Any action that either will ultimately bring to the growth, or at least help the growth process, is called Zorea. HaChoresh. Choresh is defined as Tikun VeHakshara Sakarka LeTzorech Zriya. Fine. Then we get to number 3 is HaKotzer. Akiras Dovar MiMakom Gidulo. Removing something from the place that it grows. Hama'amer. Asifas gidule karka b'mokom gidulom tachas ha'ilon o besode la rema achas. And here we have a fundamental machlokes, whether it's enough to just gather them together or you have to tie them and bind them together. But anyway, you gather together these growths from the place that they grow, under the apple tree or in the field. Next, vehadosh. The definition of dosh is hafrodas. Just one second. I'm sorry. The definition of dash is piruk ochel mipsolesh etzomcha imo bigdule karka. So we're talking about things that grow from the ground, and the tzemach itself is surrounded in its natural form by some sort of a psoles. So you have the ochel and the psoles. The ochel is surrounded by a psoles, and he's mefarek, he separates the two. That's called meleches dash. Now, after Disha, what happens is you have different pieces of straw or chaff that come from the stalks of grains, and they're all mixed together. And then we get up to Meleches Zoreh and Meleches Borer, and these are two melachos that are very, very similar. So let's see if we can define them. Just 1 second. Yeah. So we start with Zoreh. Zoreh, he says, is mashlich tfuah baruach. So to get the chaff out of the seeds and separate them, he winnows them, as we call it, and throws them up to the wind, and the wind blows them away. Hafradas hapsoles meochal yidei haruach. Now, he points out in the note here, again, I want to do this fast-paced, but this I can't leave out, that according to the Sukkachov, that's the Igle Tal, who wrote a massive work on the Sidur, the Pas Melachos, you need, in order to be Chayav for Zoreh, a Kli HaMiyuchad Lekach. In other words, you place this mixture with the kernels onto a certain kind of a pan, you throw the pan, you know, you jerk it up into the sky, and then the kernels fall back down on that pan. So you need a Kli HaMiyuchad Lekach. I'm just mentioning that it's going to be relevant as we go through the Melachos. And Borer, that's defined as Mafrid Psoles Me Ochel. So again, even after the Zriah, where he throws it up to the air, there are still small pebbles that are mixed in, maybe there's other psoles as well, into the seeds. And Afradas Psoles Vi Ochel Zemizeh. Again, the Igle Tal insists that you need a Kli HaMiyuchad Lekach. However, he agrees that even if you take it out with your hands, you remove the psoles, you might be in violation of Meleches Borer, and that has to be taken up and advised. Then we have Atochen, is Chalukas Dovar Lepirurim Ktanim. Right? That's what we call grinding. Hamarakid. And Merakeid is a little bit similar to Borer, but Merakeid is Menapes HaKemach B'Napa. So we're talking about a specific Kli, which is called a Napa. I think in English it's called a sieve. And he writes here that Achar Trinas HaChitim, even after you grind the kernels of wheat, he wants to remove the bran. And that's done through something that's called Harkadas HaKemach Benapa. Ve'halosh. He defines Lisha as Iruv, to mix Dovar Mutzak, something that's a solid substance, in Mashke. Kigon la'arev kemach imayim. So that's going to be your classic lash, when you mix the water with the flour, and it becomes what's called blila achas, one mixture, one indivisible dough. All right, we're going to have a whole bunch of shitas here about what's called megabel, whether that's a... Then we have Ha'ofeh, and his definition of Ha'ofeh is Hachshoras Dovar Lishimush Al Yidei Ha'esh, Al Yidei Toldus Ha'esh, which is something that was heated up by the fire. V'afilu B'Dovar She'eno Machal. See, this is where we make a mistake. We assume Ha'ofeh means in foodstuff. And right, because we count Ha'ofeh as the culmination or the last of the 11 melachos of Sidur the Pas, but he says no. Lachtoch, I'm sorry, lahatich mateches al gabi ha'esh. He's got some sort of a metal substance and he melts it down over the fire. And that is a tolda of meleches. Again, it's a little tricky because really the melech we're dealing with is called bishul, but the Mishnah chooses to call it afia for whatever reason. Hagozes esat semer. Okay, now we're talking about preparing, we're finished with food, and we're preparing wool. And there are many different melachas that you do with this wool. The first one is called gozes. Nituk davar, kamos semer osaros mimakom gidule bebalei chayim. Very similar to kotzer, but we're not talking about karka, we're talking about an animal. Valmenapso. So this he defines as lahafridis asaros zu mizu. So he says that saros agiza, these woolen threads or hairs, me'uravos, in their natural state on the animal's back, they are mixed together. Umefutolos zu bizu, they're braided together. And I think I skipped one malach, and I apologize for that. We don't want to insult malabno. So malabno means after he shears the wool, he washes it, let's say in a river, and he bleaches it, he whitens it. And then, after that, he has different strands that are mixed together. The limun process does not separate the what we call the saros hama'uravos, umefutolos. So if you want to get to the next stage, which is going to be tviya, and we're going to want to weave the threads together, we can only do that after we do niputs, which means to separate the hairs one from the other. Then we have Vatsovo. He defines tzvia as tseva. Just one second. Tseva yivla hetev bidora miskayim. Okay, so he has to dye it in a permanent way. Then we get to Tover. Okay, Tover, he says, is asiyas chutim migiza bikli obiyat. So now, you know, he has these different threads of wool. They've already undergone the process of being sheared, being bleached. He's removed all the knots. He's even gone as far as dyeing it. And now he wants to make chutim. And the creation of chutim from these shearings with either a utensil or a hand, by hand, that constitutes a malacha of tviya. Okay, now, the next group of four, those are the challenging ones. So let's just get the language of the Mishnah. The categories are the following. Ha-mesach. Then he has a oseshtei bote nirin. Then he's got ha'oreg shnei chutim. And finally ha'potzea shnei chutim. So these four really form a category called meleches, or melechos, I guess you could say, of ariga. And the process of weaving begins with mesach. So first I'll read to you his definition of mesich, and he says, Hamoteach chute hashsi mitzad letzad lahachinam la'ariga. So we're going to see that there are two kind of roles. One is further away from the weaver, and one is close to the weaver. Those are called a koved, whatever that is. Has nothing to do with our situation today. But anyway, so now he's going to stretch the threads that he's already prepared through tefiah from one side to the other. And he points out that this is the shasi. The shasi, he says, is la'orech, because he's going to weave in something called the arev, and that's going to go in the other direction. But now we're up to shasi. So just to get the very simple, basic definition of mesich, he says that mesich, just one second, this is the tchila, this is the beginning of Ariga. Moschim, right, in modern Hebrew, motchim, chute shesi, mitzad litzad, al gabe shnei machlos. So if I'm not mistaken, these machlos are round. And we're going to see a diagram in just a minute. And he's now stretching a thread of wool from one side to the other, from one makel to the other. What are these two machlos? Echad kari, one is called koved ha'elyon, vasheni kari koved ha'tachton. Upa'ulazu, when he stretches this chut, or maybe he needs two chutim, we'll see, as a minimum, in the length of it, that's called mesech. Mesech, technically. All right, so where do I have this diagram? So I'm using, as you know, the Masifta, but in the back of the art scroll, he has an appendix with a one-page diagram. Now, usually the diagrams take up a fraction of the page, but here he's got diagrams all over the show. They take up an entire page. I'll just show you what it looks like. And I wish I had a photocopy machine that would expand it. I know, are you able to see this page at all? I don't expect you to see the details, but just to get a look at what it has. If you happen to have an art scroll, it's all the way in the back of volume 2. It's the appendix to volume 2, which is between the last page of the Gemara and the glossary. The glossary goes on for a bunch of pages. But the appendix, which is called the weaving process, is one single page. Now, we have here, as we said before, a list of four different melachas that come under Ariga. So what I would like to do is read to you a description of each one of these diagrams. Okay, so listen carefully just for background. And I know you can do this on your own, but sometimes, if you do it b'chavrusa, it's more of a machayev, He says, woven cloth consists of two series of parallel threads that crisscross each other at right angles. So if I understand correctly, what he's saying is that you have threads that go in two different directions forming right angles. There are threads that are going, let's call it, from north to south, okay, otherwise known as vertical, or from east to west, which you can call horizontal. And what you're going to do is, you're going to somehow integrate these threads at right angles. The vertical threads with the horizontal threads. But it gets more complicated because he says there are two series of parallel threads. which crisscross. Again, if there was one thread going up and down and one thread going from one side to the other and they crisscross, okay, that would be simple, but you would not be able to weave anything. The complication here is because what you need is to get the threads going in and out, so to speak, down and up. He says the following. So you've got two series of parallel threads. He says every second horizontal thread passes over the first vertical thread. And then it goes under the second, over the third, under the fourth, etc., etc. So we're talking about horizontal threads, and until it passes through all the vertical threads. Each remaining horizontal thread passes under the first vertical thread and then over the second thread. So until now, he was passing the horizontal threads over the first, under the second, and then he says that he's passing the remaining horizontal threads under the first vertical. Right before, he was under the second vertical. Now he's under the first vertical. So in the weaving process, the vertical threads, which go up and down, that's called chassis. He gives an English word for it. It's called a warp. Right? A warp. I'm not pronouncing it right. W-A-R-P. Now, the vertical threads are fixed in place. So the horizontal threads, which he calls the weft, those are going to be passed under and over. First from right to left, and then from left to right, repeatedly. And basically, each pass of the Erev will thread a new line of cloth. So that's... Now, watch it. The difference between the vertical threads and the horizontal threads is that the vertical threads are manifold. And they're fixed in place. Now, that's where Mesach comes in. You remember we said that Mesach means that you've got to stretch these vertical threads over the Kovod, the Kovod Elyon, Kovod HaTachton, and that's going to lock them into place. And then you have a single thread, which is called the Erev, and that's the horizontal thread, which is going to pass over and under in these both directions, going this way, going that way, right to left, left to right. And every time it passes, it creates another line of cloth. Now, to assure an even weave, we require that what? That the vertical threads, which we call the chassis, must be kept taut. They have to be stretched in their place so that now the horizontal Erev can pass through it. And this is accomplished by wrapping the chassis threads around a beam called the chassis beam, stretching from one beam to a second beam, and this is called Mesach. Now he calls it dressing the loom. Okay, fine. I don't. That doesn't help me much. Now in the Masifta, he. Just 1 second. Where did I see this? All right, now I'm not seeing it right now. Oh, yeah, here it is. Again, it's a small diagram. It'd be very hard for me to show it to you. I mean, I'll just give it a shot. Again, I don't know if this is going to help anybody, but... So I'm going to turn my Gemara in a way that you're looking at the left page. I mean, my left. I guess it would be your right. My left over here. And I don't know if you can see any of this, but what I'm trying to show you here Again, it's not going to work, but what you have here is a kovet atachton, which you see is a roller kind of thing that's horizontal, but it's being held up by two vertical poles. See, that's where my finger is on this side. And if you check out my finger on this side, that's where you have the kovet elyon, which is a little bit further away from the weaver. The weaver should be standing around here. And once again, the kovet elyon, like the tachton, is a rolling vertical roller, you know, made of wood or any other material, and it's being held up by two vertical poles or pegs. And now what you're going to do is you're going to wrap around the threads, and that's going to keep them in place, and that's called mesa. All right. Fine. Now he says that some of the shasi threads may be overlapped or stuck together. Okay, that this is sort of like an imperfection in the process, which has to be perfected, because the threads are stuck together, or they overlap. So the weaver takes a stick, which is called a shevet, and he causes, by banging on the threads, he causes that most of them should be separated. So that's the shevet. Now the remainder, I guess, which he hasn't succeeded in separating, then he gets a pointed rod, which is called a karkar, and the threads are lined up individually, which is achieved by this pointed rod. So I guess the shevet is a little bit, he doesn't have any pictures of that, but it's a little bit more wide or thick, whereas the karkar is more pointed. And all this is called shovet. So we're going to speak about shovet. Anyway, the weaving process would be long and tedious unless some means of mechanization could be introduced, especially since the shasi often contains as many as 100 or more threads per inch. A method which would enable the arev thread to make a complete pass in one motion, that would obviously speed up the weaving process considerably. Additionally, since it's advantageous that the arev thread be as long as possible, because that would avoid an excess number of knots in the final finished cloth, and it would wind around a spool, which would prevent it from tangling, a way must be found to pass a large, bulky amount of shasi thread through the through the closely led shasi threads. Okay, these two objectives could be achieved if all the odd-numbered warp threads, which we said was the shasi, could be raised simultaneously to allow the arev thread to pass under them, but then above the even numbered threads, right? Because what have you done? You have raised the odd number threads, and you have therefore relatively lowered the even number threads, so that now the arev could pass under them and then over them. So by lowering the raised threads and raising the even number threads, right? So the even number threads we said were on the bottom. He raised the odd number threads. Now he does the opposite, and he lowers the raised the raised threads, he lowers that was the odd number threads, and now he raises the even number threads. And now at this point, the Orev could pass through in the opposite direction. And here's where we get a loom, a weaving loom. What is a weaving loom? A weaving loom sets up two frames. Now, what I understand about the frame is that the frame is called a near. Okay, so you have a frame, and he says you have two frames, which are otherwise known as batei nirin. Okay, well, actually, maybe that's not exactly. He says these two frames are placed between the two beams. Right, we started with two beams, which was the Koved HaElyon, Koved HaTachton, and perpendicular to them, which I think what it means is that the frames are situated in such a way that you're going to put the beams. Just 1 second. Why is that called perpendicular? Okay, I'm not sure why he calls that perpendicular. Fine. Now, each one of these frames, which are also called harnesses, contains a number of threads equal to half the number of threads in the chassis, stretching vertically and looped in the center. So you have these threads going up and down in these frames, and in the middle of each one of those threads, there's going to be a loop. Now he draws the chassis through the loops. The loop threads are called nirin. And the loops themselves, that's part of this framework, that's called batei nirin. He says the English word for this is heddles. Okay? Now, when these two nirim, right, these two frames are in place, then all the odd-numbered chassis threads are drawn through the batei nirim of one of these two nirs, of one of these two frames, and between the loops of the other, while the even-numbered chassis threads are drawn between the loops of the first harness and through the loops of the second harness. Now the weaver raises the two frames alternately. When he raises the first frame, then all of the odd number chassis threads are raised, and now he forms a situation where between the two sets of the chassis he can now thread in the arev, which is wrapped around a spindle, and it passes through this, he calls it a shed, from right to left. Then he raises the even number chassis threads by lowering the first harness, as he calls them. The harness is the frame. And raises the second one. Now he passes the arev thread from right to left, and this is weaving. He completes the process of weaving with a comb-like device that's usually made of a reed, and that presses the arev thread into place, and this act assures that the chassis threads will remain evenly spaced and parallel one to the other, because if the arev thread is too tight when it passed into place by the reed, it's not going to merge properly with the already woven cloth. So to prevent this from happening, the arev is beaten down by that that rod that we mentioned before, the karkar, in a few places, and that draws some extra threads, extra yarn into the shed, and that's called midagdek. So the weaving process comprises three different labors. First, to mount the chassis on the two koveds, and that's called mesich. And now we have lining with a rod, which is called shovet. Then we have the oseh shtei bati nirin, and then we have oreg, and its tolda is called midagdek. Then he has a footnote here. He says, for further details about the weaving process, see a book called Maisa Oreg, which was authored by Diane Gokolovitsky, and Meleches Ariga by Rabbi Bodner. So I don't know if anyone here has access, maybe you can get it online, to a book called Maisa Oreg or Meleches Ariga. One of those two books. That's what he recommends. Okay, so let's just see if in the few minutes we have, we can finish the Mishnah. So we have HaMesich, okay, and then we have HaOseh Shtei Bote Nirin. Okay, so I'll just read to you quickly the Hebrew. He says that the Nir is a Mizgeret Eitz, Omedes, Uba, Misuchim, going up and down, Chutim, Milamal, Lamat, Ve'emtza Chutim, Ha'elu Yesh Tabaos, right, those are the rings in the middle of the Nir, and these are called Bate Nirin. Ve'bate Nirin, Hayu Machnisim, Es Chute Ashesi, L'Seirgin. Okay, so I'm not going to go through this long. Well, maybe I'll just read it quickly. He says, Me'al umitachas l'chutei ha'shesi. Ha'idei achnosas chut ha'orev l'seirgin. Me'al umitachas l'chutei ha'shesi. Almanas l'hokel es shiluv ha'chutei ha'orev b'chutei ha'shesi. Is mishtamshim b'shnei Nirin, Shahayu ben HaKoved HaElyon VeHaTachton, HaNir, Hu Mizgeres Eitz Omedes, Uba Mesuchim Chutim Ilamal Lamat VeEmtza Chutim Ayetabas Bate Nirin, and into these Bate Nirin, Vayu Machnisim Es Chutei HaShesi L'Seregin, Ketzad, Es Chutei HaShesi HaRishon, Heviru, Bebate nir shel amizgeres harishona veschut haachrov heviru bebeis nir shel ashnia vekachayu mavirin es kol achutim beseder ze echad bebeis nir shel hanir harishon viesachut hasamuchlo bebeis nir shel hanir hasheni. So ha'oseh shtei batei nirin shemachnis shnei chutei ha'shesi b'toch batei hanirin. So when he puts the threads that go up and down, right, we have the many threads, into these rings, is then, if he takes two chutei ha'shesi and he puts them b'toch Bate Nirin, that's called in the language of the Mishnah Oseh Bishasi Bate Nirin. Then he has a Oreg Shnei Chutim, so he combines the Chutim of the Arev with the Shasi, the Chut of the Arev with the Shasi, going in two directions, as we said before. Iruv Chutei Arev Ben Chutei HaShesi, and he does this for two chutim, that's already considered ariga, even though it's only two, you know, two chutim. And finally, as a potzea, shnei chutim, which in Hebrew he calls it menatek sivin mishnei chutim sheba orig, lasosam dakim litzorech ha'orig. Alright, so that's what we said before, that sometimes the chutim gets overlap one with the other, they get tangled. And he has to be menatek these parts over achut, and he does it with a certain kli, as we mentioned before. Alright, let's just finish up the mission very quickly. Hakosher, meleches kshira, which is asiyas kesher amiskayim. And then we have hamatir, and he writes hatoras kesher, which is chayev, a kind of kesher from which you'd be chayev for kshira. And Tosus vacillates as to whether every hatoras kesher is considered matir, or only if he's matir al menas likshar. So that has to do with the sugya that we mentioned earlier of mekalkel. Hatofer shtei tfiros, and the definition of that is that he is mechaber shnei dvarim al yedei tefer hamiskayim. So that linkage between the two in a permanent way, that's called tofer. Korei al menas litvar shtei tfiros. If he rips open a garment in a way that now he will be able to sew two stitches, which is called a makalkel amanas letaken. He says lefamim notzar birios nekev agol ukde litofro yofe. If you have a hole in a curtain, for example, he says to do it well is what you have to do is you have to be korea a little bit on top, a little bit on the bottom. And Rashi says something strange here, which we'll have to analyze, that lo hayav mishkan korea shalom manas litfar. Every case of korea in the mishkan was al manas litfar. I'm not sure how Rashi knows that. Then we have atzad tzvi, which is this introduces a membership of seven molochos, all of which deal with preparing skins, and, you know, to do ma'abi, to work the skins. Tzeda is, even though it says in the Mishnah tzvi, it's lav dafka a tzvi. And shlilas, the definition of the malach is shlilat cheruto shel balichayim, Shederech b'nei Adam litzodo. So number one, we talk about animals that are usually hunted or captured, and he captures them and he negates their freedom. Hashochto, which is defined as netilas neshama shel balchai. Hamafshito, which means hafshotas or shel balchayim, when you skin the animal's R. And this is only after the death of the animal. Mafshit or chai is ein derech hafshota b'kach. That's not called the way that we do hafshota. Hama'abedes oro. And what's ma'abedes oro? Hachlokas oro. No, I'm sorry. That's mamachek. What's his definition of ma'abed? Just one second. He says, Hachshoras ha'or l'shimushim shonim. Okay, he's giving you a very vague, all-inclusive definition of ma'abed. Ma'abed is preparing the hide for various usages. Hamemachko. Okay, mamacho, he says, is hachlokas ha'or lachshiro l'shimushim shonim. Okay, hamachatcho, chituch davar lefi mida, he cuts it according to a measurement, o letzura misuyemes, or he cuts out a certain shape. That's called mechatcha. My classical example would be a shoemaker. He takes the leather, and he slices it, making strips and sandals and so forth. Hakosev shtei osios, ksivas osios bidyoa miskayim al gabi dovra miskayim. So we need permanent ink on a surface that is permanent. Ve'amochek, excuse me, I'm trying to turn this page here. Hamochek almanas lichtov shtei osios. So he erases, and in that place where he erases, he does it for the sake of ksiva. And then he has habone, asiyas binyan mechuber lekarka, o hosafa lebinyan amechuber lekarka, o tikun bebinyan amechuber lekarka. Hasoser, harisas binyan, o chelek mi binyan, litzorech tikun. Again, you have to make it into a meleches tikun. Hamachabe is kibui eish o haknesata haktenasa. He lowers the flame, and mavir is hadloka shel eish o hagdolas eish. So he intensifies the flame. And finally, we have the last two malachas, is hamakev epatish, which he defines as, we're not going to take it literally, but it means gmar malacha vashlamasa, to complete any malacha and perfect it. This is one of the few malachas, if I don't even know if there are any others, where the shir is a kolshu. Hamotzi mershus lushus, which is defined as taking an object, mirshus ayochel shusi arabim ole hepech, ubechlam alochazu avaras arba amis shus arab, is hare elu avos molochos arboim choser ach. So that's where we complete the Mishnah. We got up to the Gemara on the top of Daf Ayin Gimel Amin Beis, Minyana Lamali, and tomorrow, Belineder, we get to the third line of the Gemara, which is Zoreh V'choresh, to try to figure out exactly what Charisha is all about in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Laretz, and so forth, and so on.